This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, you can hear us anywhere you're listening in the state of Michigan. So anywhere in Michigan, you can just tune us in on the radio, whether you're in Detroit, Jackson, Flint, Saginaw, wherever you're at. Tune in to WKAR AM 870. Hey, we want to give you a chance to talk sports with us, and we'll be giving away tickets tomorrow to the Michigan State hockey game against Niagara. So give us a call at 884-4870. That's 884-4870-517 to register for your chance to win tickets to MSU hockey. So give us a call and register, and you'll be in on the drawing, and we'll do that tomorrow. Well, right now we'll have to tell you we'll be making hopefully contact with our guests soon, but we will chat with you. Anything you want to talk about? I assume a lot of you probably want to talk about the game coming up. So just give us a call to talk about the Michigan State game or the Tigers. Both will be hot topics today. Let's go. Let's take to the phones, and we'll do that right now and give you a chance to talk with our guest. We don't have our guest yet, but we'll give you a chance to talk with him later on. Hello, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Earl.
Good afternoon, buddy.
How you doing?
Okay.
Go Tigers, first of all.
Yep.
And today's kind of a sad day for me.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I'm sure missing Alex Karras.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I was lucky enough to have a chance to meet him back in 1973, I believe it was. I was at a festival in Detroit, and a friend of mine were walking down the street, and my friend saw Alex in Coney Island, and so we went and talked to him for about 15 minutes.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hope the Lions do something like dedicate the rest of the season to him or put a statue up or something, because he sure does deserve it. He was a class act. He's right there up there with Ernie, R. Harwell, Joe Sparma, Larry King, and you, and the rest of your staff.
Okay, well, thank you. I mean, Alex was a great one. He was a great communicator with people, and of course, he became a big actor on television on Monday Night Football. He was there for a while, so Alex was just a tremendous young man.
When you talk to somebody connected with the Lions, or like Dave or anybody, ask them if they're going to do something in honor of Alex. I mean, because I'm listening.
So. Yeah.
Pistons are coming up. I'm looking forward to a great season, and I'm actually glad there's not any NHL hockey, because I don't follow hockey anyway.
Well, you got a lot of people who will disagree with you on that one, but
I know that. But you know, that's what the show is for.
Might as well
have a little controversy here.
Yeah, that's true.
Always a pleasure, man. Thank you for taking my call, and you have a fantastic day.
You too, my friend. Bye bye. And that's Victor talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Give us a call. Talk sports with us. We come your way each and every day. That's Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. As we all know, the big game is coming up on Saturday, Michigan and Michigan State. You know, it's Michigan State is trying to keep their streak alive of winning. They've won four straight, trying to make it five. And, of course, Michigan will look to end that streak of four straight. So it should be an intriguing game. It could be one of the – it's hard to say which way it's going to go, but it could be one of the better contests we've seen in this series and in this game. A lot of games have been close over the years, so I expect this one will probably be pretty close. We haven't seen a blowout in quite a while, so it'll be a good game. The thing is, you know, with both sides, both teams really want to win. And, of course, Michigan really wants to end that streak against their little brother. They want to do that. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens, that's for sure. But Michigan is up for it. I mean, Michigan State has won down there. They won last time down there. They've had two wins in these last 5 years in Michigan. So it's not like they can't win down there. So they can win, but as we all know, Michigan State is having their troubles right now offensively and getting into the end zone. So we'll see how that all plays out coming up just a few days away from now. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. And if you want to win tickets, give us a call at area code 517-884-4870. So just call us up, register for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State and Michigan hockey coming up against Niagara coming up this weekend. Once again, 517-884-4870. Call us up and talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And as you know, the Pistons won another game last night. They've won a few of the exhibition games, and they don't look too badly right now. I mean, they lost the one last night, but they don't look too badly right now. They're getting the offenses slowly but surely trying to round its way into shape. Lawrence Frank spends so much time in putting emphasis on the defensive end. So hopefully if he gets that the way he wants it, if the players are willing to play the defense that he wants, then we'll see what happens on the offensive end. But they do have scorers there. Everyone can shoot the ball pretty good. So we'll just have to wait and see how that all plays out. That's for sure. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. And we've got our we got our guest on the line. We've got Chris Solari with us. So let's bring in Chris and talk a little Michigan State football with Chris. Chris, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, good, Earl. Sorry about that. I had my phone on silent. You know how it is. You get the interviews, you try not to interrupt the awesome stuff you get from those.
And yeah, this is our new electronic world.
It really is. But, yeah, I'm fired up, baby. Let's go.
Well, Michigan State, you know, what would you see? What are Michigan State's biggest impediments to them winning the game? I mean, everybody liked them to win, but what are they going to have to do to get the win, to put more points on the board, basically?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be it. I mean, I think a lot of people are going to be talking this week, and have been rightfully so, about Michigan State's defense and the job they've done the past few years against Denard Robinson and the job that Denard Robinson's done this year and becoming a little bit better of a passing threat and all those things. But I do think that the game will be won between Michigan State's offense against Michigan's defense. I mean, the Wolverines have improved significantly on the defensive side. They're tackling better. They're covering better. And obviously Michigan State struggled with their offense, and there needs to be some development and growth between last week and this week. I mean, you know, the rainy conditions last week really did play a factor, you know, right or wrong. You know, you want to call it an excuse, whatever. But, you know, Andrew Max couldn't have the kind of touch that he had shown in the second half against Indiana. And he had been developing. So last week was kind of a step back. So I think, you know, when you see Maxwell and hopefully, you know, I mean, if Deion Sims is healthy, that helps out the offense a little bit more. The receivers have started to catch the ball a little better, but they still didn't have much of a vertical threat against Iowa. So those, I think, some of the biggest keys right there. I think that, you know, that Maxwell has to be able to hit a couple longer passes to soften up some of that coverage.
How much better does the offensive line have to get for them to even have a chance of winning that game? Because, as you know, the offensive line has suffered injuries. So can they overcome these injuries that they've got to play with?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question because, I mean, you're already down two bodies without Finotti and without Travis Jackson, especially at the center spot. That disrupts a little bit more than people may or may not realize. So I think once you've now got a little over two games under their belts in terms of adjusting to the personnel, you know, this is kind of one of those weeks that I think that you'll see a little bit more from them, hopefully a little bit more push to help, you know, free up Le'Veon Bell. Because, I mean, you know, Michigan State in key situations last week went away from running the ball. And that was that's something that really hurt them, when, you know, especially that last drive when they're trying to run out the clock and they went to more passing downs instead of running Le'Veon and milking clock. That really proved to be one of the biggest costs in the game. So I think that when you see a little bit more cohesion on that line, and, you know, I mean, the talent drop off, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's significant, but it's enough that it's caused a factor, you know, it's played a factor in some of those offensive struggles.
Yes, and of course, yes, Burbridge has been playing, it's been catching the balls in the last 2 weeks, and Mumphrey has been catching the ball. So, I mean, I think we could say safely that Michigan might probably double up on them and dare some of those other receivers to come to the forefront. Could you see that, and could that be a possibility and be trouble for Michigan State?
Yeah, I mean, you saw last week, I mean, in one of the late drives, when Michigan State was trying to move the ball, Maxwell had Benny Fowler on kind of an out pattern, a corner pattern, that he just underthrew it a little bit and got tipped by a linebacker. And Fowler was in the right spot to make a good play, but, you know, the pass didn't get there. And usually it's been the other way around. The passes have been there and guys have dropped it. So I think Fowler's one of those guys that can have a big game. I mean, he's an upperclassman. He's been in these situations before. To explain to some of these guys what to expect against Michigan when they face 110,000 people screaming at them. And, you know, Garrett Kings is another guy that they've been trying to figure out a way to get him involved. They haven't really done a good job of that. And Kings is a guy that's got that quickness and that speed to be that vertical threat. You know, maybe we'll see a little bit more to him this week. And DeAnthony Arnett, I think that, you know, we've seen him here and there sporadically. You know, one play here, one play there, maybe a couple plays a game. You know, I mean, they're going to need to take some chances deep on Michigan. And there's going to be opportunities for receivers to make those plays. The question is, like you said, who's going to be that guy? You know, and they have to ask that internally.
Yes, that's for sure. Now, what about getting some carries for Larry Caper and Nick Hill? Nick got a few last week, but the I'm thinking that, you know, Le'Veon may need a little backup on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there has to be a little bit more in the running game. I mean, there's no question. I mean, it's hard to say that when you got a guy like Le'Veon running for 150 yards just about last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a situational thing where they need to get some of that speed to the outside. I mean, Le'Veon can get to the outside, and, you know, but he's more effective when he runs up the gut. And, you know, obviously that comes into play with the blocking of the offensive line. And, you know, Hill and Caper, those are supposed to be the guys that can get them on the outside and get around the edge. You know, Caper in the passing game, and we saw that in Indiana, just what a factor he had in making that touchdown catch. You know, those are the kind of ways that hopefully the staff knows that they have to maybe do things a little bit differently. And I thought that the Indiana game, there were some of those kind of things that you saw with Larry Caper, especially. But those two have to produce a little bit more. I mean, they haven't really got the per carry pop that Le'Veon has, which is part of the reason why Le'Veon's been the main guy.
Okay, got a caller for you. We got Ray on the line. Ray, how you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Okay.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, number one thing, you got to stop Gennard Robinson running the ball. He got 200, 300 yards the last two games, Purdue and Illinois, and they're putting up 8-9-man fronts on their to stop the run. You're going to have to get your receivers to hang on the ball and burn them on a couple plays to loosen that up.
Oh, yeah, well, we know that. You aren't telling us anything we don't know you so far.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, to me, the State, I've been watching all year, they don't seem in the fourth quarter to have the fire in their belly. On stops they should make, they can't do in the fourth quarter. You're not getting enough first downs to keep the defense gets wore down by the fourth quarter. They're ready to give up a 80-yard drive every time. That's how you're losing your games at the end.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Pat Narduzzi, just about half hour ago, you know, the first thing that he said is the key is that Denard is their offense, and they have to stop Denard Robinson. They know that.
Running the ball.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know, that's a big thing, because you shut Denard Robinson down, and they've showed that the last 2 years in the effectiveness that they've had against him, that changes Michigan's offensive set. I mean, you get pressure up the middle on him and force him to, instead of going across the line, going backwards, that's a first step. You know, you get him to go backwards instead of taking those couple steps to laterally or forward, you all of a sudden make it a couple more seconds to get your linebacker's chance to react.
Well, you know, those two games they lost, Alabama and Notre Dame, they beat them up front with Alabama had a great offensive line. They didn't really burn them too much in the air against Michigan, and then Notre Dame, they were rotating their quarterbacks in that game, even though Michigan turned the ball over six times. The key in this game, I think you need to burn them with a couple plays because they're going to put 8-9 man fronts up there. I've been watching them against Purdue and Illinois, and that's what they've been doing, putting 8-9 man fronts up there to stop the run and then just forcing people to try to throw the ball on them.
Yeah, that's nothing Michigan State's not used to. That's not Michigan State's team for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so, I mean, you're right about that. This is, you know, a couple of years ago when Kirk Cousins won at Ann Arbor, when, you know, to break the streak of however long since 1990 they hadn't won there. That's the kind of game this is for Andrew Maxwell. Not only to just continue that, but to kind of get his feet and momentum as more than just a verbal leader, to get him as a productive leader on this team and make his stamp. I mean, this is the game that makes or breaks players, a lot of people say. So.
Well, they need to put that tape back in there, Michael Hart calling him a little brother. Maybe he can make it 5 years in a row.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm guessing that's been discussed internally here and there.
Okay. Good
okay.
Luck.
Thank you, Ray. It's 22 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Round 2 pits Mitt Romney and the president toe-to-toe, town hall style, as the latest polls paint one or the other ahead by a hair. But wait, Honey Boo Boo just announced her endorsement. I'm Neil Conan, Ken Rudin, the political junkie on The Week in Politics, and from gay marriage to gambling, ballot measures to be decided November 6th, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It'll become mostly cloudy, and there's a chance of rain this afternoon. The high will be 72. Tonight, rain is likely with a chance of thunderstorms and a low of 51. Tomorrow, windy, and rain is likely, the high Thursday, 55. Rain likely with a high in the low 50s on Friday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's go back to the phones. Chris, we got a caller coming in from Grand Rapids. Tom, hello. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Okay.
I've only caught the last couple, 3 minutes, so my apologies if this has been talked about. If not, I'll bring it up, and then I'd like to go a little further, but I guess what I see is, you know, we're into the meat of the schedule now, and the offense has just been, how about offensive? Is that a fair word to use? You're not going to beat very many teams in the meat of the schedule scoring 7 points or one touchdown per game. So was there anything addressed today about the offensive ineptitude?
Well, Dave Warner talked about they're not happy with the progress that's been made yet. They feel like that there's still a lot of progress that this team needs to be made. And I think it's pretty evident. I mean, we all know where it is. We know that the offensive line's been decimated with some injuries, and they haven't responded. The guys behind them haven't responded yet. The receivers, obviously, early in the year were not catching the ball. I think we're starting to see a little bit more of that. You know, and it's a matter of finding the balance. I think that's the big thing that, you know, they want to find a balanced approach. I mean, the games that they've won, you know, you've had Le'Veon Bell going for 250 yards in a couple of them, and, you know, not much in the passing game. And then the passing, you know, the games that they've had where they get a little bit more in the passing game, the running game's struggling. So I think that's something that they've strived to be for years under Mark D'Antonio, but I think it's something that, you know, when you have so many new components, getting to that point it's easier to say it than it is to actually do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess my bigger concern is just the predictability. I mean, so I've been sitting in that stadium for over 20 years, and I can tell you when our tight end goes in motion to the right, we are going to run the ball to the right. I don't care what coach you want to pick. That's what we've done. And I always say to the people, the easiest job has to be coming in to be the defensive coordinator scheming against us, because we are that predictable. And that's just one example. So I just wonder, at some point all this kind of catches up with you, much like we get a lot of credit for designing the defense that's stymied Denard. Well, I don't think it's too hard to put 8-9 guys in the box and say, whether that's Kirk Cousins or Andrew Maxwell, go ahead and beat me throwing the ball.
Well, it's amazing because, you know, the offensive coordinator here seems to get a lot of grief. I mean, Treadwell got it when, you know, a couple years ago. You know, people were on him that he was the weak link, and, you know, he was the guy, he should be fired. He doesn't know how to call a game, but, you know, the players do have to execute. I mean, that's a big part of it. And, you know, I mean, by the time Don Treadwell took the job at Miami of Ohio, people were very happy with his creativity and production. I mean, this is still the same guy last year in Dan Roschar who had that creativity and production. And sometimes you have to dial some things back with inexperience and with youth. You know, obviously we don't have the play call sheets that they have, which you know, they know how they want to call the game and when they want to call it. And it's interesting because, you know, they don't want to say that they're dialing things back a little bit, but I think it's pretty obvious that they are, you know, in terms of, you know, I mean, the one play that stands out to me that shows that there is still that creativity there is that fake double reverse that, you know, we were talking about the Larry Caper touchdown against Indiana. I mean, that's not a predictable play call, you know, and then, you know, you've seen that at times from him. I just think that you've seen not necessarily as much of it this year as you did last year, in part because of the personnel.
Well, exactly, and I'll make the last comment, and I'll let you go. You probably have other callers. But, you know, I guess last year there was the horses to do the things that we did. This year there's not. So my point is, as as a coordinator, don't you have to sit back and say, I got to make something work with the parts I have? And I just don't see that happening. I mean, you can look around the conference and look at Northwestern. They have, you know, a couple dynamic quarterbacks, so, you know, they're figuring out how to get them both in the game. I know Burbridge was dinged up and stuff, but it took us, like, weeks to get that kid involved, and now he catches one pass per quarter. I mean, clearly the ball's got to get in his hands.
I agree with that to a certain extent, but, you know, there's also, I mean, you know, with Burbridge, I mean, you're talking about a true freshman receiver. And, you know, they needed, you know, he's also a guy who in fall camp, you know, came in and had his knee scoped. So, I mean, there was a little bit of a, you know, people wanted him on the field immediately, but there was a little bit of a growth. He didn't spend the summer with the team and workouts because he was busy taking classes. So, I mean, that's one area, you know, and, you know, it's interesting too, because, you know, early in the year, Dan Roschar did ride Le'Veon Bell, and then teams started adjusting and stacking the box. Well, then they started going to Deion Sims. Deion Sims gets hurt. So, I mean, there's been some blips in the road that have definitely affected some of the things that they tried to do and wanted to do. And, you know, the in-game adjustments, I think, are where it needs to be a little bit better.
Yeah, Chris, and the other thing, Chris, you know, I know fans don't want to hear this, but it just takes time for the guys to learn the offense, learn the defense, learn how to play at this level. I mean, everybody just can't come in and just play right away at this level. It takes time to learn, and it just seems that the fans don't really want to give the players time to learn how to play at this level. And yes, you're going to have to learn. If you're learning in the game, that's the toughest play to learn right at game time, but that's what some guys have to do, and, you know, it just takes time. I just see guys struggling a lot, and it's not because they're not good athletes. They're good athletes, but it takes a time for them to learn how to play the game.
Yeah, and game speed. Mm-hmm. At game speed, I think, is also the other thing. I mean, you know, you're talking about a lot of guys who did not have much reps the past few years, in part because there was such a strong core of guys with the Keyshawn Martins and the Kirk Cousins and the B.J. Cunninghams and, you know, on offense and Joel Foreman, guys like that. I mean, those are guys that were entrenched as starters for 3 years. And, you know, people are trying to compare this team maybe to 2011 when they should be looking back to 2009.
Yeah.
And maybe we all fell into that trap, you know, with two back-to-back 11-win seasons. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that around here. And I think, you know, part of the fans' reaction as well is, and I think it's justified, but it also needs to be tempered a little bit. I think they're just afraid of slipping back to mediocrity. I think that's the biggest thing from a fan standpoint, that why you're seeing such a visceral reaction from them is that they've seen 11-win seasons. They don't want to go back to those 6-win seasons. They don't want to go back to fighting for 500. And I think that they worry that that Michigan State is going to slip back into irrelevancy, which I don't necessarily think you have to worry about it. I think you do have to look at the number of new bodies on that offensive unit and just say and give them a little bit of latitude.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the phones. We've got Todd on the line. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Earl. Good afternoon, Mr. Scott. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. You know, I follow Michigan State football. I consider myself a fan, and, you know, I will defer to guys that can break down film and play calling. I'm going to admit I don't have anywhere near the expertise to call into that stuff. I just really don't. Now, you know, other callers may, and I don't know if you guys – to me, those are true football experts, guys that can really break down film and do it. But what I can say, and this was the first game that I had a chance to make it through this year, and I know the weather was you know, it's certainly not the worst weather football's ever been played in, but it's terrible. But what I didn't see was what I called them. Like, you know, at some point, you know what, as a football player and individual, you say it's on me. I'm going to win this football game. I'm going to make the play. And while the offense didn't play very well, I said to it, you know, if this defense makes a stop with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they win an ugly football game, they go home, and we'll all feel a lot better. Now, I understand that the other team's trying. They're there to win the football game, too. But to me, this issue is not so much about offensive coordinators. It's not about experience. I understand those guys play well. But at some point, as a football player, you're going to be the difference. Today, we're going to win because of me, and I'm going to make the plays. And I'm going to admit, I just don't see that from this football team. Again, I understand both teams are out there putting effort. But I'm going to say, I don't know if you want to call it leadership. I don't know if you want to call it heart. I don't know if you want to call it cojones. But as an individual athlete out there, you need to realize at some point you can take this game into your hands. You can go to the coach and say, hey, listen, you're running the ball behind me. For the next four plays, give Le'Veon the ball, and you're running behind me. As a defensive player, you can go to your coach, your coordinator, and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to make the play. I'm going to make the sack. I'm going to cause the fumble. And I just don't see that from these players. Are you guys seeing something that I'm not? But to me, it's just an emotional. Football is an emotional game, especially at the high school and collegiate level. And I just don't see emotion from these guys.
Well, I think there's emotion there. I don't think that's necessarily the problem. I think, but at the same point, you do bring up a valid point, and part of that comes from the experience of learning how to win those games. I mean, you know, you talk about running Le'Veon Bell and saying, we're going to get this, do that. You know, Le'Veon Bell is a junior, but he's running behind a bunch of redshirt freshmen and sophomores who haven't had the experience that maybe some of the offensive linemen in the past 2 years have had. You know, you on the defensive side of the ball, the Iowa game might have been the first time that I saw a significant defensive breakdown across the board. You know, they had a third and six that they could have made a stop around midfield. And, you know, Mark Weissman goes around and they are in the wrong defense. And, you know, players didn't adjust to it. And that comes with game recognition. I mean, Pat Narduzzi said that he wished he had them in better position, but they knew what it was there. And, you know, that comes with being a little bit of recognition of what you got to do. And that's the defensive side. That's where the experience is, and they know that. I mean, they should have known that. And instead of stopping them on third down and forcing game situation there, Weissman goes off for 37 yards and nearly gets to the end zone. And, you know, that's really the game right there.
Yep. Let's go. We got Jody calling in from Toronto. Jody, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Excuse the noise in the background, guys. But, I mean, how do we expect the third-string players to perform like all Big Ten performers? I mean, you know, we can talk all that, run the ball behind me and I'll do this and that, but you're talking about kids who probably at the beginning of last year and even this year were not starters in the program, or even some of them weren't even backups. They were the third person on the list. All you people who think that it's not, it happens, you know, that we're all supposed to be Rocky and get out and, you know, and do those things. Look at the third person at your job, you and whoever else is behind you. If you got sick and the person behind them, in some cases, that's who's playing line.
No, I agree with that. I mean, you know, a guy like Skylar Berkeland had some starting experience, but, you know, most of his career has been spent in the training room at Michigan State. So, I mean, you know, he might be a sophomore eligibility-wise, but reality is he's probably closer to a true freshman experience-wise. You know, Jack Allen's a redshirt freshman on that offensive line. And, you know, and then you got Blake Treadwell, who's a junior, and he's bounced around position to position, so he doesn't have the experience at one spot or another, plus he's been hurt. So, I mean, you know, right there, I mean, you know, even with Finotti and Travis Jackson being experienced guys out for the rest of the year with injuries, those other guys have battled some things as well, you know, from a health standpoint, from an inexperience standpoint. You know, basically Dan France is and Chris McDonald are the two guys who've had the most experience, and that's only two-fifths of the offensive line. You know, I mean, you don't win games with two-fifths of an offensive line.
Last year that the offensive line was a weak point. All at once with three new guys, it became a strength. I mean,
well,
you know, come on. Now, we didn't, you know, let's be honest. I'm not going to go about what I used to all that mess, but, you know, the game, you know, it's one up front. It's not one, you know, a true guy's got to hang on to the ball, the wide receivers, and you got to be a little more creative in your plays, and fans are frustrated, you know, because we, you know, they lost to Iowa and the team has done this and that. But, you know, as a team progresses and grows, you're going to have those things. My biggest concern was, like, say, last year, maybe there were opportunities to give Maxwell and some of those other guys some reps. Sometimes we didn't do that. You know,
yeah, there were a few times with Maxwell they tried to get him in, but, you know, I mean, there were some closer-than-expected games even last year. I mean, you know, it's amazing. The parity in college football has really made a lot of one-touchdown, one-possession games. I mean, it's a reality. I mean, even you look back to the 2009 season, Michigan State goes 6-7. They very easily could have won 10, 11 games that year. You know,
right,
but
as
you know,
look at it, as we know, keeping parity in the games mean coaches are keeping the game close by not throwing the ball downfield, and everybody runs three downs, and everybody kind of plays offensive football, which is offensive/defensive football, because everybody's holding on to the ball and running the clock, and running backs running the ball 30 times. And now, you know, whoever would have thought back in 1975, 76, when we changed and started throwing the ball, that the Big Ten would be back running the option.
Yeah, it's such a cyclical game. I mean, it really is. It's such a game of adapting and changing and changing with the adaptations, really. I mean, it's funny, but, I mean, you know, going back to your point about starting up front, that's absolutely true. I mean, that's where games are won or lost, is on those two lines, the offensive, defensive line. And Michigan State, you know, seven games in now, you know, how many different combinations do they put out there on that offensive line? I mean, that's the one thing that you have to have that cohesion with, and you have to have
that's the issue right there, is that, you know, if the guys aren't, you know, picking up blitzes and technique and all those things, you know, you can't, just because a kid was a big kid in high school and we considered him a 3-4-5-6-7-star recruit, that doesn't mean that the kid is ready to play at 17, 18 years old on the offensive line.
Absolutely.
Because there's so much more involved, footwork, picking up reads, and all of those things.
And knowing the guy next to you. That's a big thing on the offensive line, knowing what the guy next to you does, how he moves. And that's something with the shifting in lineups that doesn't really bode well to build that kind of cohesion.
Right, and that's when you look at the line not doing that, those are the issues. And it's not a lot of, you know, and that comes in time. And, you know, it also comes, you know, with as far as, you know, the easiest thing to do, as we know, is throw the ball downfield. You know, as long as you pick up the blitzes and the quarterback and get rid of the ball, you know, hopefully guys hold on to it. But, you know, all in all, because then you're not banging people off the ball. And nowadays, with everybody being so, I'll call them thick, not fat, big linemen being so thick that they're not, you're not seeing guys getting blown off the ball anymore.
Yeah, no, you're right, and that's the thing, because, you know, I remember back in the early 80s when the spread offense came into vogue, and nobody could stop the spread offense, and everybody thought, had such great ideas and thinking how the spread would change the game. Well, now they're gone back to just standard football, and so the spread was a good offense for a while, but defenses have a way of catching up with things, and that's happened here at a lot of other institutions too. The spread isn't in vogue anymore.
Right. Then, you know, their kids are going to struggle Saturday. You know, hopefully they'll, you know, stand up and play well, and that, you know, guys will, you know, do some things that, you know, might surprise us. But, you know, we went from 2 years of, or 3 years, beating Michigan 4 years in a row to right now, you know, there with a senior quarterback and some senior guys, and we're with some younger guys. So, you know, it's, you know, you can't, you know, I always used to say on your show, you can't win a Kentucky Derby with plow horses. I should just say with younger horses all the time. They have to mature, and they have to go through some of those growing pains.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Jody.
All right, Earl. Okay. You guys take care.
You too. Bye-bye. It's 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on WKAR AM 870.
Where do you go for rich conversation on the topics that matter most? The radio is more responsive than the water cooler, and we take your calls. I'm Neil Conan. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Join us for provocative talk on the issues you really care about. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good to have you with us. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Our high is 72 today. It'll become mostly cloudy and there's a chance of rain. Rain likely tonight with a chance of thunderstorms and a low of 51. Tomorrow, it'll be windy and rain is likely, the high 55. Rain with a high in the low 50s Friday.
Give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Chris, we've talked a lot of Michigan State. I know you're a big baseball guy. So what do you think the Tigers going to close it out tonight? Can they get a sweep?
I mean, it can. I mean, the Yankees are so demoralized after that. Between the first three games, the loss of Jeter, the inability to hit the ball, and the inability to get timely hits, I think that this is ripe. And, you know, I mean, the Tigers have to win it tonight, but I think there's a good chance. I mean, Scherzer going, you know, we'll see how deep he can go. I mean, the pitching staff has been outstanding in the postseason.
Yes, they have.
Outstanding.
They have. And, the bullpen's been pretty good in the offseason.
You know, the bullpen's been good outside of Valverde. Mm-hmm. The hitting, I mean, you've got timely hitting from guys like Delman Young and Johnny Peralta. You know, the guys that, you know, Quinton Berry's had a very nice postseason, especially in this series. You know, the guys that you don't necessarily expect and need to rely upon are coming through, which, you know, that wasn't the case for most of the season, as we all know, and probably lost a lot of sleep and patience over. So I do think that tonight they can put it away. And, I mean, it would be good because, you know, it's good and bad because let's say they do put it away. Then, you know, I think that Giants and Cardinals series is such a dogfight that it's going to go back and forth. It might go seven games. And that's a lot of layoff, you know, between a team sweeping and then another team going seven games. So, you know, especially with how good the Tigers are playing, you almost hope that you can not have a big long break if you do get there.
Yes, and of course you can always play it either way. People will say, "Well, hey, they deserve a well rested team. Give the best," or they say it kills their momentum because they have to go out there, and, you know, because they didn't get to go out and play. So that's the thing. Coaches and players will play it either side, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the other thing too that I think we haven't really talked about is how well the defense has been playing for the Tigers. I mean, Johnny Peralta's been playing out of his head, and you know, you get the same play from Austin Jackson day in, day out. And I think last night when you saw Cabrera's double to the gap with Curtis Granderson, it looked like he almost misplayed it or didn't run to the ball hard enough, or you know, maybe lost in the lights or something. It's amazing that one little defensive gaffe like that may go unnoticed. Pretty much that was the difference in the game, because that was, you know, it would turn into a one-run game. That was the difference maker. And, you know, the Tigers haven't had those kind of lapses in this series, which is, you know, that bodes well. That bodes very well.
Yes, it does. So I guess we're looking for pleasant things to happen for the Tigers, and hopefully we'll have pleasant things happening for Michigan State coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, crazy week here. We're talking about possibly having a World Series and the Michigan State game all in the same week. That's who'd have thought that?
Exactly.
Who'd have thought that 2 months ago?
No, we wouldn't have. That's for sure. Hey, Chris, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll have you back on again and talk some more football, a little more baseball with you. But we covered both bases today, and so we know we've got. That's one thing about this area. We got a lot of Michigan State fans and a ton of Tiger fans.
Absolutely, and we're going to be busy. We're all going to be busy here next few weeks, but we'll take care of yourself, Earl. We'll see you here this weekend.
Okie dokie. We'll see you then, Chris. Bye-bye. And that's Chris Solari with the Lansing State Journal. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. www.amateurradio.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Well, let me ask you this one question. Maybe someone can help. Maybe even you can help me out. Aaron, can Ohio State keep going? They're undefeated. Can they go 12-0? When you look at the rest of their schedule, do you see them going unbeaten?
It's possible. I mean, clearly, they got their coach in there, and they're buying into a system. So, I mean, I thought it would have been difficult for them to play as they are, being how they can't play for. I mean, they're just playing for pride at this point. Yeah. They all knew that going into the season. It's possible. I mean, they have an offense that, frankly, has been scoring quite a bit of points, to say the least.
Yes.
I mean, it's – and their defense, the problem with their defense, though, they got this last weekend, I think they actually had one of their fullbacks was actually playing linebacker. Their linebacking crew is completely banged up, which I think will probably come to bite them, later in the rest of the season. But, it's possible. They got this weekend, I believe they have Purdue, and then they got Penn State, Illinois, Wisconsin, and then, the big one at the end there versus Michigan. So, it's possible. They got a good shot. There's, I would expect them to beat Purdue, Penn State, Illinois. Wisconsin has been inconsistent. But that's at Wisconsin. It's always difficult to play there. And then Michigan, that's actually, I think, going to be actually a much better game than what people probably thought going into the season.
That's for sure. And, hey, I'm going to give you this When it comes around to Heisman voting time, when it comes around to voting for the Heisman Trophy, would you be shocked if I told you there's a good chance? I can make the vote now, or if I could make the vote now, it probably would have two defensive players on my ballot. Would you be surprised if a defensive player even got on the ballot and then won if he gets there?
No. I wouldn't be. I think part of the reason that offensive players usually win it is simply because their numbers, they're just larger.
Yeah, they are. That's true.
You so-and-so threw 300 yards for five games in a row or whatever the case is, and, led them to four, fourth quarter victories or whatever the case is. Defensively, numbers aren't as big, but frankly, the defense sometimes is just as important as the offense. We got a call coming in.
Yep. And I won't tell you who they are, but there's a chance, I'll say, there might be two defensive players on my ballot. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got another caller on the line. Let's see. We've got Dennis on the line. Dennis, how you doing?
Earl, who's the two defensive players,
man? You got to guess for a while. I'm going to keep it under my hat for a while.
I know. You probably watch NBC every Saturday, so I know Montyel is one of them, right?
Yeah, he's one of them.
Okay, yeah, all right. Good marketing, Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And Earl,
mm-hmm.
You my man, right?
Uh-huh.
We go way back to your early 60s, back when you first started this show in 84, 85.
Uh-huh, yes.
All right?
Uh-huh.
And you've been pronouncing the spread offense dead every year since you had this show.
Mm-hmm.
Every year.
Well, it's dying. Let's face it, it's not as much in use as it was when it first broke came on the scene.
Okay, now, I'm just doing this off the top of my head, man.
Uh-huh.
And again, we had this discussion last year.
Yep.
And just based on formations, I'm seeing Nebraska run the spread, Minnesota run the spread, Illinois run the spread, Northwestern run the spread, Ohio State on a bash spread, and Michigan run the spread. Sounds like it's still kind of in vogue to me, Earl.
Well, it could be. I mean, I don't see that much success out of all those teams, but some of them are successful, like Ohio State, Northwestern is a little successful. The other ones, Illinois, Minnesota, I don't think you could say they're very successful at running the spread.
Okay, and then we got a few pro-style offenses can't bust
yep.
the great season,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's
okay.
true.
All right, man, I'm just trying to see where this going out of Vogue stuff is coming from, because you've been saying that for how long has this show been on the air?
About 20 years.
Yeah, you've been saying that about 15 or 20, so I keep waiting for it to go. Now, I do know Michigan is dropping it, supposedly.
Yeah.
They want to go to a pro style, but I think Gardner is going to be their quarterback, all these young guns notwithstanding that the fan base wants to see in there. I think Gardner is going to be their quarterback next year, and I would not be surprised to see them continue with a read option base offense just because of his athletic skills. But we'll see.
Yeah, we
will.
But
I think, again, Earl, the spread is dead pronouncement might be a little bit premature on your side.
Okay.
All right, dude. Talk to you.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. And that's Dennis calling up. And I didn't say the spread was dead, but it's just it's not getting as much use as it was when it first came on the scene. But it's still a good offense for some teams if you have the personnel, and that's always key. You got to have the personnel to run it. That's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. And let's see. What else do we need to talk about? We've got to talk a little hockey, but Michigan State's going to have to bounce back from those two big losses that they had last week, Aaron. And we're going to have to talk a little hockey, but we're giving away the hockey tickets tomorrow right here on AM 870. Michigan State at Niagara. We'll get a chance to see hopefully how much they've learned from that game and how much they improve when they get to these games against Niagara. So that'll be interesting, but it should be a good challenge for Michigan State when you play against the best team in the country, one of the best teams. You learn a lot from games like that. And I've always had this one philosophy. You learn a lot more from losing than you do from winning. For the most part, when you lose a game to a team, you break down, you look at every minutia of that game. You look at why you lost, how you played, everything. But when you win a game, you might gloss over it a little bit. You know, you played pretty well, but maybe there are a couple of things that you didn't do. And, those will get glossed over a little bit. So that's something about sports. It's always great when you win because everybody loves to win. I mean, that's no secret. Everybody loves to win in sports, and when you start to wing, you have a tendency to overlook some things, and that just, I guess it's human nature. That's probably about human nature with guys and people wanting to learn more about the game. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKR. You know what, Aaron, we haven't mentioned your Detroit Lions. Your Lions for the past couple of days, they got lucky and got a win over Philadelphia on Sunday, last Sunday in overtime. They got lucky and got a win. Now the question is, can they keep it going? What do they have to do?
They just got to, still continue to build that run game. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. They got some bad news for Javid Best.
Yes.
Earlier, I think it was actually yesterday or Monday. He's not able to return quite yet. So they're not getting him back anytime soon. So LeSure, he's got to continue to improve. I think he had 90-some yards against the Eagles. So mm-hmm. I think he had
a good game.
Yeah, he had a good game. So, it's weird because I don't think the Lions have never really had a solid running back. I guess I would probably have to go as far back as Jones. Kevin Jones maybe yeah. was more the bigger type, stronger type back. The offensive line, though, has never really had a solid running back. And maybe, a lot of people give them a lot of flack. But frankly, they've never really had to do had to do a lot of run blocking because they've never had a solid right. running back. So they've been more pass blockers. So, if the offensive line continues to improve and LeSure kind of comes into his own and they can continue to run the ball and keep the defense honest, it's very simple. It's going to open up the pass game. I mean, that's easy enough to say that. So if they can be more balanced on offense, if LeSure can get 90 to 100 yards or more a game, that's just going to open up the passing game. And, obviously Stafford's proven he can win in the fourth quarter. So,
yes.
The defense, Delmas, when he came back versus Philly, he obviously had a huge impact. I know Philly on offense, they have their woes, but that was a heck of a great player for them to have come back, and I think they got some of their corners starting to come back. And so you know, I expect that defense to tighten up a little bit, play a little bit better. Delmas, he brings so much energy and leadership to that team that it's great to see. So hopefully against – they got a Monday night game against the Bears.
Yes, they do.
You know, that's in Soldier Field. So that's going to be a challenge. But, I think this was the game that hopefully will kind of continue – propel them in the right direction and continue to get some wins.
Yes, that Monday night game, that's a big one for them. I mean, they're 3-3, or actually 2-3. So yes, they need a win. We know they still have playoff aspirations of making the playoffs. So if they want to make the playoffs, this is one that they almost got to have right now. I mean, they don't want to lose this one, and then it might start going downhill for them. So hopefully they become and become a better team and a good team if they can beat Chicago. So that's the assignment. That's what they've got to do. And also, Aaron, this is the last week of the regular season for high school football, and you know there are a lot of teams out there that haven't made the playoffs yet, but just one went away from making the playoffs in high school football. But I'm when I look at all these high school teams and many of them from the mid-Michigan area that are just one win away from being in a playoff team. So that's the thing. You just need to make the playoffs. That's get in. Then you're good. So hopefully whoever wins it and gets in, they'll be good, and maybe they can get all the way to the state championship. That's a long run, to get to that far. But, certainly you got to get in, and once you get in, you can do some things. So let's hope that many of the teams, especially in our area here, win this sixth game and make it to the playoffs. Hey, give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And you can call us up, and you can give us a call if you want to register to win hockey tickets. Give us a call at 517-884-4870. That's 517-884-4870. 4870 for your chance to win hockey tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. So that's the number for you to call. Call us right now. We'll give the tickets away on tomorrow's show right here on WKAR, and we'll do that and give away some hockey tickets. So if you love the game, I know we have a lot of good hockey fans out there. Aaron, I know you like hockey. I see yourself a bit, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a hockey fan. So if no one's calling in, I just might have to call in myself and get those tickets.
Yeah, because you would go to the game, that's for sure. You don't have any NHL, so won't be able to talk any NHL hockey, at least right now. You know, there is a chance that the strike could be settled. The owners offered the players a 50-50 split and some other things. We'll just have to wait and see if the players take that and run with it. Don't know if they will or not, but the players seemed to be agreeable to trying to do that and trying to get in and be a good team. So we'll have to see that. But, that's curious with Michigan State and with them and getting a chance to get in the playoffs, and we'll have to see how they go. It's a good run. It's a good team. And Michigan State has a lot to do if they want to, to get there. And that's for sure. And they're going, there's a lot of Michigan State fans in Chicago. So that Chicago, Michigan State, the Chicago Bears will have a lot of Michigan State fans there. And of course, that fell spells well, very good for Michigan State, because they have the Lions have a ton of college fans. Michigan State fans will be at that game supporting them because they like, they love to see Michigan State in there. And, all of them that follow college sports, it doesn't get any better from that. So you get a chance to watch some teams, the games, and just get a chance to follow the pro game. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. And Alex will be with me tomorrow, and he'll give away the tickets on the tickets of Michigan State hockey. And we like to do that. So give us a call tomorrow to register a chance to win, or give us a call right now. Call 884-4870. I want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling and invite you to come back and join us tomorrow. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on WKAR East Lansing. Have a safe and a pleasant evening, and I'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.